Hello and welcome to the Rant and Rave podcast. I'm Dave.
And I'm Frank. Dave, good evening, my friend. How are you? Oh my gosh, dude. It has been a week and a day since our last show. Gosh, I have to apologize. Life gets in the way sometimes. But hey, it hasn't stopped people from downloading the show, which is the good news.
There you go.
Just not good new fresh content, yeah. That's all. People catching up on the old shows.
That's right. Well, hey, good to see you. So much has happened. We could do our dream is to one day do a 3-hour show every day.
I know.
And then we might be able to squeeze it all in.
Drive time. And I want to be able to sleep in. So drive time. Let's make it like 8 to 10. I don't, or maybe 9 to 11. I don't want to. So if iHeartRadio execs out there are listening or anybody out there on Real America's Voice, hey, give us a call. Check out our website. You know how to reach us.
I'll call Salem Radio Communications. We are recording this on April 17th in the year of our Lord 2024. Just to give you some perspective, hey, let's roll with it. There's a lot of rants, but let's begin with the rave.
Okay.
The former and future president of these United States, that's President Donald J. Trump.
Right.
This is amazing because, you know, I really do kind of in a way get tired of talking about the guy. He's such a focal point for everything happening, and it's just all on his shoulders, yet he's got that big smile still.
Yeah.
Okay, so he has to put up with this nonsensical, ridiculous courtroom scene. Basically, was just a tax written error,
yeah,
a misdemeanor at best. At best, that's just blown up in this whole thing. Obviously, we've right. told you about the story a million times. So he has to be there in court. It's a ridiculous day. There's just, you know, election interference. They want to just get him off the. Off the campaign trail.
Right.
So what does he do? What does he do, Frankster? Your old hometown, New York City.
He hangs out with the people.
And not just not the fancy types, not the Chuck E. Schumer Upper East or Upper West Side types.
Oh, no,
he goes to Harlem.
People. Yeah.
He goes to the bodega where there was that horrible, violent stabbing incident in 2022 to support the people because some scumbag. This is apparently a very well-known bodega. It brings in a lot of money and stuff, right? And it's very important to the locals that live a block away.
Yeah.
Apparently, you know, it's like a mini Target all in one there. And the poor fellow, I think he was went jailed and he maybe just got out.
Yep.
But he's there, and oh my god, just the live footage. I mean, you're not going to see the networks there, but
no.
I hope everybody got a chance to see some of these just YouTube clips that people were just throwing up with their phone.
Yeah.
And these, and just watching the typical New Yorkers, it was like I got a little teary. It was amazing.
Yeah.
USA, USA, Trump, Trump, Trump. I mean, yeah. I bet you the Katie Couric's of the world were just screaming their eyeballs out.
They were chanting 4 more years. Like he's already in office, which he really is. I mean, he is the president. But it's like, it's incredible. The New York Bodega Association, as you mentioned, invited him to that bodega where that owner had to defend himself and has just been part of the crime spiral out of control. That is New York City, the toilet and crime infested, criminal, illegal, alien infested, thanks to, you know, Alejandro Mayorkas, who was just let off on charges today by Chuck Schumer in the Senate, of course, a party line vote. So that was going nowhere. We knew that. But it's just amazing, Dave. You're right. This is all falling on his shoulders. You know, look, it's when you look at it, you take a step back. It's like that's a Democratic judge. He's conflicted. The wife is Democratic. She's conflicted. The daughter's Democrat. She's conflicted. That's the judge. This so-called, and at, like you said, at best, a bookkeeping error. Statute of limitations has already run out on that particular misdemeanor, but they've knotted together about 20 of these and tried to come up with a felony. And they brought in a guy who was number 3 at Justice, Matthew Colangelo, who worked in the Obama administration to revive a dead case that the U.S. attorney dismissed, the federal court system dismissed it. Nobody, even Alvin Bragg himself, would not bring these charges until Matthew Colangelo was sent down by Biden, by Garland, from Justice. He was seconded. That means you leave your normal job and go to another job for a while. He was seconded into Alvin Bragg's office to basically drum up these charges and then find a Democratic, you know, operation, kind of like Fannie Willis in Atlanta. This guy, Judge Marchand, couldn't be any more conflicted. His daughter has raised over $100 million via Adam Schiff. She's a Democratic fundraiser. The wife is friends and raises money for Letitia James, the attorney general, black attorney general, who is also trying to prosecute Trump on a state level. So there's those three right there. Of course, Alvin Bragg, we know about his conflicts already. I mean, it's just simply unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. And if not him, then who? They are coming after everyone. If you don't think they're coming after you, and I'm talking to the folks at home, you know, we've got to have President Trump's back here. We just absolutely have to.
Yeah, he represents us all. But also, by the way, the quick side note, of course, it was Bragg who actually accused Jose Alba, the bodega owner, of who was robbed, attacked, and he was accused of murder.
Sure.
So Bragg's, he obviously he's a scumbag, just another low-life DEI implant who should not even be a DA, obviously.
Yeah.
So, hey, we wish Trump the best. But guess what? They're saying he could be stuck there almost every day for the next 2 months. That means it's going to drastically cut into his campaigning.
100%. Yeah,
and that's what they want.
That's the whole idea. That's what lawfare is all about. Lawfare is not about the end point. Lawfare is about the process. And that's exactly what Mark Elias, the chief Democratic strategist for Obama and Valerie Jarrett, who are the ones running the government, wants to do. It's basically to defund him, derail him, demoralize his supporters, drain the bank accounts, and keep him on his heels and keep him off the campaign trail. But hey, like you just, that's why we started with this particular item today, Dave, because he can go anywhere in New York City. Now, here's the other thing. They've also put on him an unconstitutional gag order. Yeah. I mean, they're completely violating his First Amendment rights. He's a criminal defendant. He is allowed to speak. You cannot silence a person. It totally is a violation of the First Amendment. Mike Davis at Article 3 Project is doing a great job covering the trial for Real America's Voice. I recommend people tune into that as part of that coverage. But is just simply – so look, he's going to get found guilty. He's going to get sentenced by this judge. It's going to get appealed, and his poll numbers are going to go up. It's going to be just like when his house was raided in Florida, just like when Jack Smith brought charges against him, blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing's going to happen again.
I think you're right on target on that one. We'll see. We'll find out what happens. And also, they don't want him to go to Barron's high school graduation.
No, they wouldn't let him go. They wouldn't let him go to his son's high school graduation.
It's coming up. It's coming up. He hasn't missed it yet.
That's just like Jerry trying to return the jacket in the store in the Seinfeld episode. Why do you want to return the jacket? Because of spite. I just want to return it because of spite. Well, I don't think you can return a jacket because of spite. The Democrats are doing this just because of spite. Just because they can.
Spite's a big part of it.
And they want to stick the hot poker deeper into the eyeball socket. How's that for a visual?
That's it. We'll see. Some people are saying, hey, Trump, tell him to F off, go to Barron's graduation, and let's see them actually try to arrest you in front of the whole world. That would be quite a scene.
That would be a scene, baby.
That would be a scene. Another disappointment. Let's jump to this. I have no words left to support this guy. Mike Johnson, House Speaker. You know what?
I'm done with the biblical
good fellow.
Truth, man. Like, good, hey, good, great Christian, good guy.
Yeah,
good,
but,
hey,
no.
Enough of that. Enough of the biblical truth.
We've talked about how in the year 2024, you need a bull in a china shop. He's not. He's meek. He's a lamb.
Yeah.
He was fine. And here's the other thing that's weird. And some people, hey, is he compromised? How can he, within just a short amount of time, almost reverse everything that he's been pushing and talking about for the last, until all of a sudden he's the speaker and he's just like crumbling.
Yeah.
He's caved on everything, dude. He's caved on the border. This new spending package,
Ukraine,
billions
everything.
More to Ukraine, like fighting for it. Like he wasn't even meek. Like, it's like, I wish you would fight this.
It's almost like he does it in a certain suave style kind of way. Mm-hmm. And he's such a smooth talker and people just think, oh, it's all good and everything else.
No.
But if you look at the substance of what he's saying, it's completely aligned with the other side.
That's the problem. Oh, Schumer, Biden, they love the guy.
Oh, yeah.
They're ready to sign that thing, man. Come on,
let's
sign
this. Hakeem Jeffries is basically like, I'll keep you in your speakership.
Yeah.
That's the side conversation. What? He's like, I'll keep you in your speakership, but I need 110 votes from you every time to pass certain things. And he's giving it to him.
You know you're in trouble.
Right up the wazoo is where he's giving it to him.
You know you're in trouble when Biden, the Schumer, and the gang are supporting you. As soon as you see that, you know you're heading down the wrong pathway.
Yeah.
And jumping back to FISA, which we talked about the last show, Section 702 looks like it's going to happen.
It's going
to
happen. Yeah.
Johnson's doing nothing to squelch that. No. And all we want is to say, hey, okay, all we want is to require having a warrant. That's all we're asking for. We're not even going to get that.
But here's the thing, though, Dave, and I think I talked about this in the last show. 100 House Republicans, 100 and change, supported it, which is why it went over the finish line. Why? Because the language that was added to the bill exempts congressmen from the requirement, right? So if you're going to spy, if you're the FBI and you're going to spy on a congressman, you do need a warrant. If you're a regular American citizen, warrant not required. End of story.
Warrant not required. Well, that says it all right there, folks.
Says it all.
We are living in a lawless time, probably more than in the founding of our country. I mean,
I think so. Look, I mean, I think in totally recent memory, you know, I've been doing a lot of reading and stuff lately, and it kind of just from a lot of this attack on Trump just reminds me of Nixonian politics. It reminds me of what happened to Kennedy, the deep state. That's the, you know, look, he was a president who was probably as conservative as today's conservative presidents, even though he was a Democrat back in the 60s. And the deep state took him out because the globalists were very unhappy. So they aligned with the CIA. CIA took him out. I'm reading a fantastic biography right now about the whole topic. New physical evidence. I mean, absolutely a second shooter on the grassy knoll. Look, long story, another show. But, you know, whether it's the Nixonian, look, it's a coup d'etat. Let's call it a coup d'etat Thursday or whatever day it is this we're taping this thing on. But it's the same idea. They have now galvanized all forces to take Trump out one way or the other.
That's right. Hey, let's talk about some of these foot soldiers that are running around the country lately. This is something that everybody's kind of catching wind of. I don't care if you're living in Washington, Portland, Chicago. Okay, these snotty upper middle class white kids shutting down the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. I mean, it's worth talking about. It's easy to dismiss them as just snotty little kids. But two things I want to get your feedback on. One, for instance, in this case, it's the California Highway Patrol. Are they compromised? In other words, why did they let these fools block this bridge for hours and then barely give them a slap on the wrist? Where they, I believe we have been talking about this from the beginning. They should get a minimum like 5 years in prison
so
at
Dave,
least.
You're 100% correct, and I'm glad you brought up the CHP. So just for folks in states outside of California, the California Highway Patrol is the police group responsible for, as is in the name says, patrolling the highways and state or interstates of California. CHP directly reports to Gavin Newsom. I mean, there's other people in the middle. Yep. But to your point, Dave, that is exactly why what happened today happened. Gavin Newsom said, give him a pass. Don't do anything. And that's why the CHP did what they did. If there was a sheriff, if the Riverside County Sheriff or, you know, Shasta County or any of the other great conservative counties around the state, which is most of them except for L.A. and San Francisco, you know, it would have been a different outcome. But that is exactly the reason why. You nailed it right on the head.
Yeah. They did make 15 arrests, but these are such minor offenses. They'll be out in a week. And also, by the way, if anybody thinks these are just like waking up in the morning, having the little Fruit Loops and going off to the bridge with their yellow vest. This is all an organized thing. Most of these brats are paid off anyway.
Yeah.
And their legal bills get paid by the, you know, you'll
it's the
take
same,
your pick.
It's the same, Dave. It's the same. We've talked about this for many, many months, if not a year or two. It's the same. I told everybody to buckle up and prepare. This is the same as the lead in to the Summer of Love in 2020 with the BLM riots, with Antifa and an unholy alliance between the BLM crew and the Antifa crew. And if you Googled Antifa at one point, it went directly to the DNC's funding website. And that's not a joke. That actually happened. So what I predicted a few months ago is actually happening. The Palestinian Sharia compliant mullah, Muslim loving radical folks, these are the ones blocking the bridge. And now they are standing up and they realize, hey, we can stand up in a giant conference, outdoors, protests in Detroit and chant death to America and nothing will happen to us. That's where we're at as of April 17th. I guarantee you by this summer and in the early fall leading into the election, you're going to see that on steroids.
It's something that, you know, this is almost like same story, but different faces or different masks. Mm-hmm. Going back to the late 60s, if not even earlier. And it's weird how it's almost like transferred by DNA, because obviously they're different people. But it doesn't matter if these are the 2020 people. Or let's go back to Occupy Wall Street. It was the same people. And when I say, of course, not exactly the same idiots, but it is the same people, mentality, the same Marxist anti-American mentality, a different body.
And here's what I'll say on that, Dave, and I'm sure everybody is sitting at home thinking this. It's a function of what you can get away with, okay? Whether you're a country or a region or a state or just a person, or you're a student in a class in North Carolina who goes up and slugs the teacher. Why? Because you know there's no consequences. We live in a no consequences world. Why does Iran take direct military action against Israel? No consequences. Why are people getting slapped about and getting punched randomly in the streets of New York? No consequences. And I could go on and on and on, but I think you get the message. We live in a no consequences world, which is why all this is happening. I have news for people. As of this November and January the 20th, when Trump puts his hand on that Bible, consequences are coming back, baby.
Yeah, let's hope. It's going to be obviously a slog through like a New York City, for example. But, you know, that's exactly what it is. They have zero fear of the law. We live in a lawless nation at the moment. So if you run around with your Hezbollah death
problem.
To America, they have zero fear of the authority.
Yeah.
And they don't care. Nothing's going to happen to these people.
Dave, listen, I was just listening to a podcast earlier today. There was 1,300 illegal African aliens gathered in a park outside City Hall in New York City, lined up for green cards, and then they were trying to bring them food outside to feed them. And the Muslims were complaining because of like Ramadan and the food doesn't work for them and all the rest of it. It's like, hey, if you don't like it, get the F out. Get the F out of our country. Okay, this is a melting pot. Doesn't mean you come here and we all adjust to you. It means you melt in. That's the whole concept. So you don't like it, head home.
Well, they're going to need to be forced onto a vehicle of our choosing when Donald's back in.
We are going to deport 20 million people. We're going to deputize every single sheriff's deputy in every single favorable county around this country. And you will be surprised how quickly those folks are rounded up and shipped back.
But it's funny how like Hezbollah is considered, even by the U.S. Justice Department, an Islamic terrorist organization.
Of course,
yet has zero effect on any of this nonsense. So,
yeah.
Hey, and also quick shout out to Laura Loomer, who gave us some great video of that. She's really become a star lately.
Yeah, she's been doing some great reporting on the ground for the Trump trial in New York this week as well.
Yeah, she's really just, I mean, it shows you these are just like citizen reporters. She tried to run for Congress and barely lost, I think, in Florida. But that's what it takes. Just somebody out there who has the effort and the just she probably just has an iPhone, you know, and all of a sudden she's a reporter, right?
Yeah. No, she has an iPhone, but she has an incredibly huge social media following. And I think, you know, God works in mysterious ways. I think that was actually a blessing that she lost, because she could then focus on her kind of social media. And she's a much bigger, stronger voice for the, you know, America First movement. I think Rand Paul was right. Senator Rand Paul, when he said the other day to Trump, he gave a warning. He said, hey, don't get too close to Johnson. The closer you get to Speaker Johnson, you're going to lose support. You're going to lose base support. And he's exactly correct.
All right. We constantly are fighting the quote unquote mainstream media. And that's just the polite way of saying these Marxist propaganda outfits.
Right.
It's even worse, though. Forget about NBC, CNN, and all the rest, when it's on our tax money. So I want to tell you about this lady. I want you to remember this name, everybody. Catherine Maher, M-A-H-E-R. Okay. She is the new NPR CEO, National Public Radio. That's our tax money. With paying off their fat salaries. And of course, Republicans, they've been kind of, well, we should defund them. They've been talking about that for 30 years, and they're still getting paid up the wazoo, these people running the show. And it's not, you can't say, well, they're insignificant. They don't get like Tucker Carlson's numbers. Obviously, they don't. But still incredibly influential, because they all read from the same playbook.
Right.
So she just took over. So was one of the at almost the same time, and it's kind of an interesting coincidence. I don't know if it's coincidence, but at the same time, one of the longtime NPR, he used to write business articles for them. Hmm. So this guy Uri Berliner, he actually is a whistleblower. So he comes up, he actually says, "Hey, guess what? I've been at NPR forever. It's biased."
Talk about calling attention to the obvious.
Now, we already knew that, dude. Yeah. But at least he had the, you know what, to come forward and say all this.
Right.
And he says it's always been left wing. But since Trump came down that escalator in 2016, it's become just a massive proper, you know, more than any time before. So guess what just happened to him less than a week ago?
Fired.
Suspended, quit, fired, all within a week.
Oh my God.
It just shows you, once we've talked about this over and over. Sorry, I'm just repeating myself.
No,
you stick one little toe outside their line.
Yeah.
You cross them, well, even one little smidge, you are gone. You are canceled.
When you started with this story, I actually thought you were going a different direction, because you also, did you see that other news story, Dave, breaking about the head, that same woman, the head of the NPR, and she was caught on a mic or something saying her biggest enemy, her biggest thing to thwart is the First Amendment of the Constitution, that she's really worried and panicked about it because it doesn't allow her to do her job because everybody's allowed to say whatever they want. I mean, this is the person running NPR. She doesn't like the First Amendment.
Like I said, remember that name. She is enemy number one. She's evil. She's now the poster child for anti-American Marxism on a propaganda.
You might as well just start calling NPR Pravda, because it is, right? So for folks who don't know their history or the history, Pravda was the National Communist Party microphone, essentially, both a newspaper as well as a radio show in the former Soviet Union. And it's a metaphor. I think it actually still exists, but it's basically a metaphor for Marxist communication.
How about the USC valedictorian? So private school, we all know about USC. Okay, it's one thing if it's a public school. USC is a private college, right?
Yes.
So the valedictorian, some scumbag Muslim lady who was... This is how far off the rails everybody has gotten lately. She was going to give her big speech, anti-American, pro-Hamas, anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, go-Nazi type thing, because that's what she is, obviously.
Right.
So they pulled the plug on her at the last second, and of course the left went ballistic. How dare you prevent her from shouting her anti-Semitic.
Kind of like what they do with Charlie Kirk in every college he goes to, like that? Yeah,
exactly. Like that. So now she's like the poet, like, oh my God, see, they're trying to squash her rights to say what she wants to say. I don't know where she came from, but she's another just like useful tool of the left.
Well, maybe.
So good for USC for not letting her speak. But why is she there in the first place? I know she didn't pay 50 grand a year to go there.
Maybe if it's a First Amendment issue, we get that NPR lady to take a look at it.
I doubt. So, I mean, we won't even talk about the Washington Post. That's Jeff Bezos propaganda.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, this
2.0 is really all that is.
We always talk about immigration issues and how important it is to have more cultural...
It's the number one issue for the election.
Yeah.
Number one issue.
So let's jump to Australia, though, because as we know, it's not U.S. Right. It's the entire Western civilization now is under assault by the Marxists that are allowing us to be invaded. So this is a horrible... This hit right after our last show,
About
Frank.
six days ago. Yeah.
This is in a mall. So you imagine you're at the mall. You're at the I'm at the South Coast Plaza Mall out here in Costa Mesa. Yeah. Oh, and some scumbag Jamal from Niger or whatever. Takes out a knife and starts stabbing people right in the middle of the day. Did anybody see this?
Nobody in the mainstream media in the United States saw that, covered it. No, five or six people dead, right? Or something like
six people dead. Yeah. This poor lady who had a couple kids with her, she put her body as a shield to save her little baby, and she threw her baby to some guy. She died.
Wow.
She's
dead.
God. Baby lived with slashes all over its face.
Wow.
And this is, it shows you don't need a machine gun.
No.
You don't need a bazooka. You don't even need
a knife.
Just a knife.
Perfectly
legal.
They haven't banned knives yet. And actually, knives kill more people than guns in the United States.
Yeah, by
far. Those anti-Second Amendment people. And look, to your point, joke about South Coast Plaza, this could happen in Irvine, Newport Beach, San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, any mall, any town, USA. That people think, it happened in Australia. That can be anywhere right down the street.
Because meanwhile, you got this Denver scumbag, the mayor of Denver. You know, except for Denver, Colorado would be a very red state. He wants everyone to be more open to migrants. So they're cutting police budgets. They're
Millions.
Cutting social services budgets. And so now we have to have more and more money going to the migrants.
It's the same crap as New York City, dude. They literally siphoned money for literally millions. They've siphoned from the police and fire department. So they have more for the quote unquote newcomers, a.k.a. criminal illegal aliens. Hey, look, Denver. I got news for you. You want to become a small version of New York City? Keep it up. Keep going. You get what you vote for there. That's a beautiful thing about democracy. You want more of it? Hey, it's a free country. Free men and women, free will. Vote for it. Take it up the you-know-what. Go for it, Denver. Become another New York City.
And for all you lefties out there in Denver who support this scumbag Mike Johnston, he's the Denver mayor. You have zero. You cannot complain about the taxes or the tents or the measles that are spreading all over the country again, because you wanted this. You got it.
Yeah. Pretty soon, I'm gonna recommend to my friends who are government officials in solid red states like Montana to pass amendments to their state constitutions to make a litmus test before people move into the state. They have to actually sign an oath saying they won't bring in their stupid, shitty Democratic policies that ruin the states
Right.
they're leaving before they come into red states, and they have to sign it before they come into the state.
Yeah, they're trying to ruin Wyoming and Idaho right
All
now.
of it. Yeah, they're trying to ruin
Yeah.
all of Montana, everything. I mean,
Yeah.
Missoula. I mean, it's already started. Believe me, dude. It's already started in places like
Yeah.
Montana and
Well,
Wyoming.
I wish I had more raves, but I'm just all wound up. It's just
Oh,
a lot of rants is waiting this week, I'm afraid,
I gotta
everybody.
finish with one funny
Go
story,
ahead.
Dave. You may have seen this over in the Gateway Pundit. Here's the headline: Total silence as Biden drops by a gas station in Pittsburgh. So he's trying to take a page out of the Trump playbook, trying to be a man of the people. The problem is he's not a man of anything. He's just a complete loser. No one likes him. He's not sociable. Nobody wants to go up to him. No one wants to talk to him. Nobody likes to shake hands with him. So the guy drops by. This is the president of the United States, supposedly. We know he's illegitimate and he's fake. But he drops by a gas station outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Three people, Dave. Three. Three people, and two walked away. And I can't show you the video. It's a
Wow.
podcast. That's not a joke. I'm watching the video right now. One dude walks up, shakes his hand. The other two, his handlers tried to bring in to make it look like more people. Those two dudes walked away. Can you imagine the president of the United States is like right in the store next to you? No, thanks. Good. I'm done. Don't need any more.
Yeah.
Thanks. Two guys walked away. They kept one guy there to shake his hand.
Yeah, what an insignificant worm Joe Biden is.
Insignificant worm. Absolutely. Dave, great to see you this week, folks. Thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate it. And please do share us across all of the podcast platforms. We're out there on pretty much everything and on social media. Coming in a little hot these days. Lots to talk about at Rant and Rave 1776 on all platforms. And Dave, we will see you as always down the road on the right side.